in terms of the reviews and the comments on those particular episodes. And this is not episode related, but I think it's a good question by the ever lovely Serena Higgins.
That's right.
She said, I have a question about pronunciation. I have noticed that there is a list of words everyone on Riddles in the Dark pronounces differently. And actually, each one person could pronounce it differently across different things. These are usually words with two vowels, such as Thryn, Thrain, Dian, Dane, Smog, Smaug, Owen, Glowen, which I don't know what the other pronouncements of that would be. Last syllable or two of Thranduil, Beorn, and Roach. Everyone says these differently. Also, the first vowel sound in Erebor, is it air like A-I-R, ear, or E-R-R? Could Corey address what notes, recordings, or other guides Tolkien has left about how to pronounce these words? I know he talked about this way back, but perhaps he could discuss it again now in the context of the movie. In cases in which Jackson and company pronounce them differently than it appears Tolkien wanted them said, is there some cultural or linguistic justification for the difference? Nice question, Serena.
That's an excellent question, and we've touched on this at various points, but it certainly is worth revisiting. I actually find some difficulty. You will notice, for instance, that my own pronunciation of these is unstable, and that is because I am divided in mind.
Me too.
I am divided in mind about this. And in some cases, I don't think there's much division for mind. As in Smaug, for instance, is, like, there is, I think it's relatively clear, a right and a wrong way to pronounce Smaug, and Smog is not okay.
And Schmaug is definitely not right.
Schmaug is definitely not okay. let me start off by pointing to the resources here. So okay, where to go for this Tolkienian pronunciation is Appendix E of The Lord of the Rings. So you go to The Return of the King and go to Appendix E at the back, and this is the bit on writing and spelling, and at the beginning, part one is pronunciation of words and names. Now, it is true that the emphasis throughout this is primarily on pronouncing the Elvish, because if he's trying to help people to pronounce the passages of Elvish that he gives. So there's lots of, like, in Quenya, it's like this, but in Sindarin, it's like that. This leads some people to say, well, that tells us how to pronounce the Elvish languages, but it doesn't help us with the names, except when the names are themselves obviously Elvish. With this, I disagree. And the reason I disagree with this is that I think that he's pretty clear that the way that he has... Don't forget that in Tolkien's mind, this entire book, that is, The Lord of the Rings, is originally written in a different language. The words that our eyes are looking at on the page, how some people say, and we've had this conversation with some people like Jana, who are reading, who have The Lord of the Rings in, the Dutch translation, or, in other non-English translations. And sort of talking about how The Lord of the Rings is really hard to translate effectively because so much of Tolkien was so fixed on the words and the choice of his words and the sound of the words in English. And so, it's really hard to effectively translate all those things, so that when it's always true that you're losing something when you're reading a translation, but you're losing sort of a particular lot with Tolkien when you read a translation, and that those of us who happen to be native English speakers, or at least Americans, are fortunate to be getting Tolkien in his native language. But don't forget that that's not even true. Of course, within the fictional frame of The Lord of the Rings, this book was not written in English. It has been merely translated into English from the language that they speak in the Shire, which is in English. And that Tolkien has specified that the names that he chooses and gives, these are not the actual names of the people. Like, when they're speaking to each other, those aren't what they're calling each other. He is rendering these things into, like, English equivalents and things. So, basically, what he's giving us when he's doing the pronunciation, he is, like, the Elvish languages are not written with Latin letters, right? He's already what he's given us is a mere transliteration of the sounds. So when you're reading, you know, Goadriel's song in Quenya, for instance, you're not reading Quenya. You're reading an English transliteration of Quenya. Okay, so the question of what sound do those English letters, you know, those Latin letters, what sound do those English do those particular combination of English letters make? That is a shorthand. There's like that's like a code, right? It's not the actual Elvish letters. You can learn, of course, the actual Elvish alphabet and learn how to write Quenya, in fact, but that's not Quenya. That's not Sindarin. And so the English characters that he's given us are merely a pronunciation aid for us English readers who don't have time to, you know, learn the Kyrth or to, you know, or anything else to, you know, this is what enables us to be able to, you know, the Fëanorian letters. This is what enables us to be able to pronounce it. Okay. It's a pronunciation aid for us. And therefore, he has, it seems, based on what he says in the appendices, made the pronunciation of things stable across what is represented. So he's using the same encoded cues in how these particular letter combinations are to be pronounced in order to help us pronounce all the names properly and to pronounce the Elvish words properly so that we can actually say it as it would have sounded. Okay? So you're following me there? So again, it's not like that's how you pronounce Elvish, but it's not how you pronounce Dwarvish. All names and things in Tolkien are transliterations from a different language entirely. And so therefore,
we can still apply
the rules that he gives us to any names. Okay, that is my understanding of Appendix E. Now, when we look in Appendix E, and we look at the crucial thing is in vowel combinations. Okay, in my edition, my edition of The Lord of the Rings is it's a 3-volume edition, but it's with continuous pagination. So I've got this in Appendix E on page 1090. And it talks about letter or vowel combinations. Okay. 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 So we've got the AE, AI, EI, OE, UI, and AU are all diphthongs. Okay.
That means that they're both pronounced. Is that what that means?
Diphthong? That's right. It means that it makes a different sound.
Oh, different sound than either of the other two.
Yeah, okay, so those are not pronounced separately. So that's what, AE, AI, EI, you don't pronounce those separately in that way. But at the same time, if you actually break it down, you can see how it really is a combination of the two different sounds. So AU, for instance, is pronounced ow, as in, and he gives the modern English words that would be the equivalent, as in loud or how. But again, if you think about that sound ow, you can hear it's made up of two different vowel sounds, right? Ah-oo.
Right.
So you can see that, you know, the long a sound and then the oo sound for you, the oo. So ow, you get ow, you know, that's where you get the ow sound. But you combine them quickly. It's not two distinctly separate vowel sounds. They kind of come together. This, you know, both of the vowel sounds are combined into that, but it combines to make a different vowel sound. This compound vowel sound. That's what a diphthong is. As opposed to having like two separate syllables in there. It's one syllable. So it's ow. So that's why AU is pronounced ow.
Now,
like loud or how.
The pronunciations of the vowels.
Yes.
Each vowel only has one way to pronounce it, correct? I mean, he's following, was that like the Old English or Middle English? In other words, they don't have like short and long A, short and long I, like we do in modern English, correct?
Because it does change when it's stressed or not, and that's why that's generally what the accents mean.
That's right.
So When you have, just going back a page here, it says that long vowels are usually marked with the acute accent, as right. in some varieties of Fëanorian
like
script.
Eowyn.
Right.
Eowyn.
That's a different thing. We'll come back to that.
Okay.
I'm talking about once, like, for instance, you will see an accent over names like Turin, there's an accent over the U.
Ah. Right.
Or Húrin, there's an accent over the U. Or Dúnedain, there's an accent over the U. And that's to indicate not all of those vowels are long vowels. Like Dúnedain, D-U-N-E-D-A-N. The E is not a long E. It's not Dúnedain, right?
Right.
The E is short, Dúnedain. But the accent is on the first syllable. That's what the accent shows you where the stress lies and tells you that that vowel is long. So it's Dúnedain. Okay.
Okay. Makes sense.
Now, there are, but hang on, let me finish with the diphthongs first.
Sorry.
Because you will notice that AI is one of the diphthongs that I mentioned, and that's
right.
the most clearly, the name of Thorin's father and of the leader of the Dwarves of the Iron Hills. These are, like, that name, the AI combination is the most, vexed dilemma of the Hobbit pronunciation issues. And it's listed as one of these diphthongs. And says, and the way that it's supposed to be pronounced here, it is supposed to be pronounced I, as in the English word rye, as in rye bread, R-Y-E. That's the illustration that he uses. And then he puts in parentheses specifically, rye, not ray. So he explicitly says AI is not pronounced A, it is pronounced I. Okay? Okay. So this is why we have, for instance, the plural Dúnedain, right? A-I-N,
right.
Or the Edain in the first, in the Silmarillion, right? It's Ein, that's not Dúnedain, it's Dúnedain. Because that's the diphthong, and he's explicitly said, not only has he said it's pronounced like rye, but he goes out of his way to emphasize it's not pronounced A.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Fine.
So it's Thrine and Dain, really.
It's Thrine.
Correctly.
And well, okay, hang on. It's still more complicated than that.
Oh, that's right. We have
this is only step one of the argument. By the way, one side note: UI is also listed as a diphthong. However, the illustration that he gives for how to correctly pronounce UI is the English word ruin, R-U-I-N, which is kind of technically a diphthong. But
not really.
Not really. And there are some vowel sounds that are really kind of on the edge. And I don't know if this is, and here I would actually welcome input from British listeners, because some of this stuff might simply reflect the fact that I'm an American and we pronounce things differently. And so perhaps ruin is we in America pronounce the word ruin more disyllabically than they do in Britain. But for instance, another example like this is the name Beowulf. If you ask somebody, especially an American, how many syllables there are in the name Beowulf, they would say three, right? Beowulf, right? But in Anglo-Saxon, it's a two-syllable word. Beo is another, like the A-O sound, is another diphthong-ish. It's one syllable, but it's not. It's like ruin. It's not really a clean diphthong. It doesn't make one different sound like ow. And by the way, I, the AI, you can see how that also is formed. I is also a composite sound. Right, it's not a single vowel sound. I-E, right? I-E. You see the A-I, you do the I-E sound, and you do it quickly, and it becomes I-E-I, right? That's why that sounds like I. It's not just a random thing. That's the natural sound. That when you pronounce A's as A and I's as E, which was the traditional older way to pronounce it, that's how it's done in Middle English and Anglo-Saxon, then that's the sound it makes when you do them quickly. That's generally where those diphthongs come from. Okay, anyway. So ruin, this is why, by the way, one question that was Serena asking this?
Serena,
Thranduil, yeah. And Beorn also. Beorn is the exact same thing as Beowulf. This is exactly right. The same vowel combination in fact, the same word, actually, practically. Anyway, so...
So in that case, because what is it, Bjorn, just people will say Bjorn, right? Instead Bjorn. Of Bjorn.
It's not... But see, Bjorn is more like, would be more like the Nordic version, like the B-J-O-R-N.
Right. B-J-O-R. And if it was Bjorn, we'd probably have an accent over the E in Tolkien's notation, correct? And it would be Bjorn. In other words,
if the accent over it would mean that vowel was long. Hang on, we're coming to that in a second too. We're coming to the accents here. We'll come back to the accents in a second.
Thranduil, in the movie they say Thranduil.
Thranduil, I disbelieve in Thranduil.
Right.
Even though that would sort of seem to make sense. In this, you know, again, if you have the oo and the e, you know, the long I sound would be e, just as the ah e. In the AI combination makes it into IE. So it's actually kind of interestingly inconsistent that they're taking the AE and pronouncing it A, but they're taking the UI and pronouncing it three. Anyway, whatever.
Right.
But again, Tolkien has said the UI is pronounced like ruin. So when I pronounce Thranduil,
Thranduil.
It's true that it's not like, you know, Thran-D-O-O-L. Like, you shouldn't pronounce it like that.
Drool?
Yeah, it shouldn't rhyme with drool. So if it sounds exactly like drool, then you're doing it wrong. So, but it's
like Thranduil.
Thranduil. But again, it is a difficult. It's one, you know, that Thranduil's name should have two syllables. Bjorn's name has one syllable.
Right.
You know, so
now
like,
Roach. What about Roach? Because she does mention Roach.
Roach.
I mean, we're doing that as two syllables.
That has two syllables. Now let us get into the accents, because on some occasions when there are two vowels next to each other, which are definitely supposed to be pronounced separately, he indicates that. Okay, so he says, so it, he lists the diphthongs, U-I, O-I, A-I, I-U-E, you know, the ones that I mentioned before. It's all other pairs of vowels, he says, are disyllabic. Okay?
Okay.
So they are all supposed to be pronounced separately. He says, this is often, I love the often, by the way. You know, like, no promises, man. Yeah. This is often dictated by writing E, like EA with the dots, with the umlaut above the E.
Right. Yep.
So when you have the two,
like
the
Arendelle.
Yes. Right. Arendelle. Yeah. So in Tolkien's names, when you see the two dots, that always means that the vowel, you know, it's, you only see those two dots above a vowel when it's in a two vowel combination, and when you do, it is always supposed to be pronounced separately. Always supposed to be pronounced as two syllables. So that's why, you know, so when Iluvatar says ea, it's two syllables. That ea, that one word that is ea, is two syllables, and that's indicated by the umlaut, the two.
Oh, the umlaut, yeah, over
the,
A.
The two dots over E. So, right. So yes, so Eowyn and Eomir and Eärendil, we get lots of examples of those names with the two dots. So it's a rule, whenever you see that, those two vowels are pronounced separately. That's always true. Now, as he says, it's often dictated that way. So that means sometimes, when there aren't the two dots, you're still supposed to pronounce it as two syllables. So if you see the two dots, it's always two syllables. But if you don't see the two dots, it still might be two syllables. Exactly. But now we go back to the other issue of that he puts the acute accent over vowels that are supposed to be pronounced long. Okay? I would now encourage people to look at, if you have your books, turn to or refer to it later, at the end of Appendix A, the genealogical tree of Durin the Deathless, okay? And if you look at this, there are a number of names. First, one thing that you will notice is there are no umlauts appearing anywhere. We don't get two dots above anybody's name, okay? That's one thing to notice. Second thing to notice is that in some names, you have an acute accent over a vowel when it's a single vowel. So Thror's name, for instance, has an accent on the O. Gror's name, Thror's younger brother, who is the grandfather of the leader of the dwarves of the Iron Hills in question, has an accent. Durin does not have an accent. Excuse me. Borin, great grandfather of Balin, has no accent. Balin has no accent. Okay? Thorin has no accent. And I think that's important. If you think of the difference between Thror and Thorin, it's not like Thorin, right? I mean, the accent is still on the first syllable, but it's not, you don't hold out that vowel really long. It's Thorin. It's not Thorin or something like that. So it's the vowel is a little bit shorter. He does not indicate that it's supposed to be long. Now, we come to the AI names and the OI names. And let's start with the latter. We've got Owen and Glowen and their father Groen, who is not Groin, by the way. Glowen's dad is not named Groin. It just is not true. His name is Groen. And it's very clear. There's much evidence, some of a very interesting kind, that Owen and Glowen have two syllables each in their names. Okay, now again, there's no two dots there, right? So it's not like an absolute law. Like it's not, but it's really clear. And one of the ways, and my favorite piece of evidence for this, comes from the introduction to John Ratliff's History of the Hobbit, when he is quoting from a speech that Michael Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien's son, gave in May 1977 at the Tolkien Society's annual dinner. Okay, and I'll read this bit. Michael recounts, Michael described the stories that he and his brothers and sister had written in imitation of The Hobbit. So the Tolkien children had written like spoof Hobbit-esque stories. Okay, at this point in their childhood, when their dad had obviously been telling them The Hobbit as he was writing it. Michael recounts that these stories were populated by characters like Philpot Buggins, Ollum the Giant Frog, Blokes, Smellers, and the dwarves, and listen to the dwarves, the fake dwarves' names in their stories. Rory, Bory, Gory, Biffer, Trasher, Gasher, Beater, Bomber, Lammer, Throwin, he was the chief dwarf. Now, Throwin, mind, is spelled Throw-in, throw in. And young Blowin and Goin, again, hyphenated, Blow-in and Go-in. So the very fact that the Tolkien children were making joke dwarf names called Throwin, Blowin, and Glowin, right, is, in my mind, definitive proof that Tolkien pronounced, if those dwarves in Tolkien's own pronunciation had been Oin and Gloin, which is the diphthong version of OI, right, they would never have made that joke, right? So the fact that they were joking about Throwin and Blowin shows that that's obviously a two-syllable name, right? And not a diphthong, but a disyllabic vowel combination. And that is indicated with an acute accent over the O, not with an umlaut. So, the AI. The question is the AI a diphthong or a disyllable vowel combination? If it's a diphthong, it's I. It's dine, thrine, nine, and so on. If it's a disyllable with a long A, it would be Thrayan, Dayan.
Right.
And it seems to me that the evidence here is a little bit ambiguous. If we take Glowen and Owen, for which there's, in my mind, some pretty clear external evidence that that is certainly how those names were supposed to be pronounced, And if we take the acute accent there as an indicator that in these dwarf names, mm-hmm. disyllabic vowels are being indicated by the acute accent over the initial vowel, then that would indicate that Dayan
and Thrayan
would be pronounced that way. We could just say, well, it's like a sustained diphthong, right? So it's dying, but it's sort of made long.
Dying.
It's possible. It's possible.
But it's definitely not Thane.
It's definitely not Thrain and Dane. The one thing that when you look at the pronunciation guides carefully, the one thing that is obviously true is that they're pronouncing it wrong in the film. The only of the three options, the only one that is clearly wrong is the one that they use in the film.
They're using.
Yeah. Yeah. Personally, because of the model of Owen and Glowin, of which I'm quite solidly convinced, that's why I generally choose to say Dayan and Thrayan. Because that seems to
me
most consistent.
I'm changing now. I'm switching over.
but, you know, I am open to the idea that it is a diphthong. It just... given that, and in the original Hobbit, he didn't use accents at all over the names. That was a later thing, which seemed to be when he was being more consistent with the pronunciation. After having written Appendix E, so that's why I was referring people to the genealogical tree in The Return of the King rather than back to The Hobbit, because those accents don't appear in The Hobbit at all.
Now with Erebor, it is more air, like
A-I-R. A-I-R, yes, air. Yeah. Yes, because that would be the long, the long E there. Yeah. So it's definitely not ear, because the E sound is associated with I, not with E.
Right.
And it wouldn't be Erebor. that's just strange. It would be Erebor, as I understand it.
And Jackson and company just haven't had very good linguistic coaching.
Well, certainly inconsistent coaching as far as this is concerned.
I find that kind of odd, actually, because there's so many really good Tolkien linguists around and have been for a while.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know that, you know, David Sallow's choices about Elvish have been controversial among many scholars. But it's not like he's a slouch. But anyway. Oh, and by the way, Roach gets the two dots.
Oh, he does. Okay.
He does.
So the A in Roach has the two dots.
Yes. Yes. So that means it is definitively Roach, two syllables.
I did want to correct one thing. Aowen, Aomir, they don't have umlauts. Aowen, Aomir, Theoden, they only have the acute accent.
The acute accent, right. Yeah. But again, see there, it's clearly,
But it's clearly, well, it's a separate, makes it a separate syllable, right? A-O. So A-O-N,
but see, that's going to be, that's the same vowels in Beorn and Beowulf.
You'd think the E in Beorn would have a...
accent. But it doesn't. Exactly. I mean, it's, and again, you know, in my mind, this is something that, you know, in sort of recent, when I last taught Anglo-Saxon, was when I sort of, you know, in, you know, reviewing stuff myself, was kind of came across the EO thing and was sort of realizing, gosh, I've been thinking about that wrong all, you know, because I'd forgotten that that was a diphthong and was like, had just been pronouncing that disyllabically, essentially, as if Beowulf does have three syllables, which it shouldn't.
Right.
So I agree, like, Eowyn is really a two syllable name. It's, you know, she does not have a three syllable name. Eomir is not a three syllable name. So it's not like Eärendil.
Right. Okay.
Eowyn. But see,
the O kind of gets elided a little bit. Into
exactly.
The E.
But you see, that's exactly why the AI thing is to me ambivalent at the end.
Right.
Because here, in one case, in the case of Glowin, I'm taking the accent over the O to be tantamount to an indication that it's disyllabic.
Right, right.
Whereas in a case like Eomir, I'm not really taking that as an indication that it's a true disyllabic vowel combination. The emphasis is on the E. The E is clearly long because it has the accent. Mm-hmm. And I pronounce it, you know, when I say Éomer, it kind of sounds like a three-syllable word. But then again, when I say Beowulf, it kind of sounds like a three-syllable word, too. I feel like that's just sort of, you know, my own sloppiness. The fact that I still feel like in my own ear, I don't really get the E-O diphthong in the way that, like, it's... Like I get owl and I mean, those to me just make
more
sense.
Well, and you know, thinking of it philologically too, I mean, and having to, by the way, anybody that's interested in this stuff, get the course pack for the philology course, the introduction to philology course that was done a couple of semesters.
Yeah, Shippey's really class, good. Yeah.
But this is, and I could see Tolkien doing this and making some of this ambiguous because of the fact that it's that kind of stuff that makes for dialects.
Right.
And makes for changes in the language. And he built in changes to, I mean, this course in philology made me appreciate Tolkien all the more and the way he designed his languages. I mean, he built in the fact that they're going to change over time. I mean, it's just a genius.
Right.
So, I mean, I could totally see him almost doing that on purpose, keeping some of it ambiguous because of that's how dialects form and language changes over time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you know, again, you can approach the dwarfs' names as if like the accent over the A just makes it like Éomer and Éowyn, you know, that it's still a diphthong essentially, but with a long, you know, so it's you know, Dain and Thrain. Or you could approach the accent to say no, it's like Glóin and Óin, so it's Dain and Thrain. None, unfortunately, in that list of dwarves that Michael Tolkien mentioned, I would have loved for there to have been a dwarf named Stayin, for instance, or something like that.
Then we'd know.
Then we'd know for sure. But there isn't. So, but nor is there the opposite either.
That's true. So it's open. You know, I have the distinction.
Yeah, there isn't a dwarf named like Brine or something like that.
Right,
you know?
That's true. Yeah, so we don't know. Yeah, yeah. That's true. Thank you. I have the distinction of having just completely mispronounced just English. You know how when you're reading, especially as a young person, when I didn't know what the word was, you know, mm-hmm. and I mean, God forbid I should go to a dictionary and discover how to pronounce it. I, for years and years, said Ringwraith.
Ringwraith, yeah.
And it wasn't until actually one of the first digests for Riddles of the Dark, one of the listeners called me on it, and I'm like, oh, you're absolutely right. I am totally wrong. It's, you know, but that's just from old habit of way long time ago, mispronouncing it and not saying Ringwraith.
Yeah.
So I've changed. I've tried to make sure my mouth is retrained.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. There are a lot of words like that. You know, I mean, I probably have this conversation, like my wife and I probably get into this conversation like once every few months, where some word will come up in conversation between us that one of the two of us has like never actually said aloud, but has seen, you know, we've been reading it for all, you know, for many, many years, but we've never actually heard it in conversation or actually said it. So, you know, we'll have sort of a debate, like, is that really how you pronounce that word? You know,
That's come up for me most often since I've been actually, you know, working in Mythgard. It's because, you know, in no other place else in life do all of those really odd words that I've been reading and only reading.
Right, right.
Now I need to actually say them and I don't know how to say them.
Yes, yes. Talking about Tolkien and Tolkien's language a lot will help you to expand your spoken vocabulary.
Well, gosh, if it was Laura now, we'd have the bubble sound, you know, the popping bubbles.
Right, exactly.
She would be
ushering us gently along. Yes, but we should end. Yes. So that was a long discussion, I know, but I wanted to, you know, we've touched on it before, but I don't think I ever really did justice to what I think is a genuine ambiguity there. And I think that the reasons that people, because I really think there is no obvious, clear, absolute right or wrong answer on that. Okay, no, there's a wrong answer, but there's no very obvious right answer. Ain
right
is
answer.
Clearly the wrong answer.
But
I think,
but
that
if you say Ain or Ein, you could
Ain or I think either are defensible. By the way, I'll just throw in to add one last final layer of confusion. Some arguments have been made that since the dwarves' names were modeled on Old Norse anyway,
Right.
You know, because they're drawn from the Edda, that you should pronounce it like you pronounce Old Norse, which I don't speak Old Norse, so I'm not, but I understand that it's neither one of those pronunciation in Old Norse.
Oh, dear. It
would be something more like on or own or something. I'm not quite sure.
So Don
down or something. I don't know.
Where is Brent Johnson?
Where's Brent? I know. We need Brent's help on that one. But basically, I don't believe that. It might sound strange to be like, oh no, I think that pronouncing it like as the authentic original language of those names is supposed to be pronounced is clearly inaccurate. I mean, that seems like a kind of a strange
cheeky,
position for me to
a
take.
Thing
yeah,
to say.
But I do. I mean, basically, the way that those have been transmitted through, you know, through English in The Hobbit,
right,
and the way in which he makes no distinction, I would think if Tolkien had in mind, an Old Norse pronunciation which was different from the way he describes the diphthongs, mm-hmm, you know, in every other case, and different from any other normal, you know, English pronunciation.
He would have notated it.
He would have mentioned it. Yeah.
Yeah,
so I can't imagine that he really meant them to be pronounced
that
way.
I think you're right.
So.
He would have done a whole separate treatise on the dwarfs' names and
right,
pronunciations
right,
and stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. You know, he works it into the story, right? That that the people from that region, where you know from the greater Erebor region, you know, from, you know, Rovanian and stuff, they have all these Gothic these Gothic names and everything, so they're all clearly these like Norse and Gothic names and stuff.
Noam says maybe he wanted to but just didn't get to it.
That's right, yeah. Another unfinished
completely
work
believable.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right,
yeah. Or we'll find actually unearthed in his papers someday the various sketch of this section of the pronunciation,
right,
that, you know, will be started.
You know, actually, yeah, you know, knowing what I could imagine is like a later thing written by Tolkien where he was like, you know, back in Appendix E, you know, when I had to rush that sucker through and they were so persnickety about what I should, you know, they were, you know, pushing me to compress those anyway. So I just threw in the towel and said, forget it, let's do it all the same. But I regret that now. Now I want to go back and make a more purist Old Norse pronunciation. Like, here's this, like, extensive, like, discussion that I wanted to do about the idiosyncrasies of the pronunciations. Nothing would surprise me less than to see something like that happen. But,
really? That's true. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, gosh, you know, I'm even tempted to sort of cut this language section out and make it sort of like a separate little downloadable thing. You know, it's almost kind of like, you know, take this with you.
Actually,
you
yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
You know, because
that's actually a good idea.
Yeah.
Maybe we could just have a separate little bit. A little bonus bit on pronunciation.
You know, the end of the, if I, yeah, the bonus bit. I mean,
yeah,
we won't
not,
have your great sign off before
yeah,
I get to it.
Yeah. Rather than have it buried in the back
yeah,
half of the second hour
yeah,
of this episode.
To get to it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Here it is. Thanks for listening, and Godspeed.